3 o'clock. Well, it's nearly 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm laying here staring at the sky, and sleep isn't coming. So I already slept some. I don't know how it's gonna pan out for today at work. It's a Thursday. I might just have to go to sleep. I may have to come back here early and just go to sleep, even though it's so freaking hot until later on in the evening. Anyway, so yesterday I listened to modern, oh, let's just call it out, anti-Mormons. It's Mormon Stories. I don't even know the guy's name. Not really interested in finding out. He had this lady on. Exmo Lexi. Lex is her thing. Lexi, I don't know what her last name is. Doesn't matter. Anyway, told the whole story of walking away from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I guess we're all supposed to feel bad for her because, you know, she figured out that at some young age she was, there wasn't full disclosure. The guy, the Mormon Stories guy, is big on consent. And I think I've said in the past that I said, I don't know how I've ever felt about how missionaries get people to be baptized. You know, I've talked about, or I've written about the fact that if some people describe the church as a hospital, you know, that's one of those weird concepts that that mainline Christians came up with, you know, and it's cute. And but I said, you know, in the LDS Church, it's expected that you're going to become a doctor. You know, you don't get to hang out around the hospital as a patient, basically shuffling around behind a walker. You're expected to get yourself to the point to where you're at least an orderly. I guess that I think I may be a little bit better than an orderly in the church hospital, such as that description goes. But everybody, the expectation is that you be a doctor and that you do those kinds of things. I'm probably a doctor, but, you know, I'm not the most amazing one, that's for sure. You know, I'm not out there seeking out people particularly. I'm not out slamming things. Anyway, this Mormon Stories thing with Ex-Molex, I guess her basic beef with the church is that she learned that there was a lot of information that she didn't know about, and she felt like she should have known it. She felt like she was lied to. And it's like, well, okay. I mean, you know, can you feel that way? Sure. What's to stop a person from doing that? You know, it's any group any organization is going to have kind of a greasy underbelly. And this ilk, this is a definite pattern for anti-Mormons to strip away people's faith in anything. I found it interesting. She finally mentioned that her and her husband were now atheists, and it's like, oh, and that just popped the whole bubble. I said, it isn't particularly about being lied to. It isn't, or not enjoying full disclosure at a moment convenient for you. It says it's about having somebody telling you what to do, or about things that you should do to have a good life. She's already talking about the fact that she went to a family gathering with a bunch of Latter-day Saints, which who don't tend to drink alcohol, and she brought hard lemonade, which is alcoholic, and she's going, well, I wasn't flaunting it. And you go, oh, pshaw. What garbage. Of course you were. You're saying, I don't have to keep your rules anymore because I'm not a Mormon. And you go, okay. Yeah, they're going, oh, they're telling everybody who is a Mormon to stay away from me, and it's so hurtful and it's so terrible. And you're going, it's your choice. It's your choice. It says, it seems, it says, it says, your insistence on being able to do these things, to not keep the cultural slash family rules, what are you giving it up for? Hard lemonade, it's a look at all the things I can do now because I'm not constrained by all of your rules. And you go, well, it says, trust me, there's plenty of people who haven't decided to separate themselves from the church completely, like she has, and decide to make it into a, oh, I feel so lonely. This was my group. And her insistence that now she has to form something of a new group and culture, and it's mostly around, people who are resentful of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And you're going, well, this is, I guess it's a community. It's kind of, it's a victim thing. And of course, the Mormon studies guy, I guess he's a psychologist, or touts himself as somebody who takes a psychological bent to his anti-Mormonism. Number one, all I can say is lucrative. It's, if you're not making a pretty good living off of being an anti-Mormon, you're doing it wrong. Because apparently there's quite a market for it. The Christians will pay you pretty well to come and speak to them about how terrible Mormons and the Mormon Church are, and how, well, not how terrible the Mormons are, how deluded the Mormons are, and how terrible the Mormon Church is, or the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. Pardon me. So, if you're not profiting on some level from being an anti-Mormon, you're kind of a sucker, because the money's there. The money's certainly there. It's been worked for as long as the LDS Church has existed. is profiting off of trashing it. And yeah, it's like anything else. There's plenty in it to trash. People who say things that, oh, I don't know, shouldn't be said. Things that, people who accuse them of not saying enough, and full disclosure, and you're going, this is, I say, put yourself in their shoes. What would you tell your 5-year-old kid? Would you give them full disclosure about every aspect of human sexuality? Of course, they go, well, of course not. And you go, what's the difference between that and telling a 19-year-old that Joseph Smith was had was sealed to teenage girls and various other things, which if you it usually doesn't take a lot of spinning, but you can certainly spin that to make it sound very tawdry. And you go, were they having sex? And you go, no. It was, some people described it as a spiritual marriage. It was marriage in the eternities only. It was an interesting thing. This is, was it good? Was it bad? How on earth should I know? Sometimes it was requested by the women. Sometimes it was women throwing, getting their daughters to do that because they thought this was a good road to salvation, or to exaltation, actually. And I'm not going to sit here and try to discuss Mormon theology. You can go on any source you want to and get both positive and negative views of it. It's all there. It's all available. It's not like it's not there. If you want to know what goes on in temples, that's available to you too. Since it's not unknowable. Just know that the people who are broadcasting what goes on in the temple are not are people who basically broke a confidence to do it, so they aren't going to be the best people. Just know that. I think it takes a lot of. Well, God, I don't know. I don't certainly don't want to toot my own horn about it, but you have to get yourself into the frame of mind that you're going to be hearing from people who don't think much of it. And I'm sorry, there's probably two or three very salient truths that I think are really relevant in any discussion of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and frankly in the gospel of Jesus Christ as restored through Joseph Smith and his successors, that you need to know about, or that you need to consider when getting involved in the whole milieu of it. Number one, and this one is at least to me, it's hilarious for how blatant it is. No group is more you there is no more acceptable how would you say it? Golly. If you want to be a bigot, There is no more acceptable group to be bigoted against than members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or their culture, or the organization of the church. There is no more institutions or groups to which you can be hateful and it be totally and completely socially acceptable. It doesn't matter. Imagine this. Now these days, it's pretty much totally acceptable for you to have sex whenever you good and well freaking please. It's okay for you to pull together any kind of grouping around sexuality or anything like that. It seems like anything goes today, right? There's gay marriage. There's if you say something bad about transsexuals, how terrible! You know, how dare you? They are a victim group, right? Funny though, you know, when it brings up bigamy or polygamy, oh no, that is a sacred cow of bigotry. That is why? Because Mormons did it. And will it end? And you go, no. It will never end. Never will depravity or open-mindedness ever include polygamy, for instance. Why? Because it's associated with Mormonism. Let's just call it that. Let's just keep it easy. You know, and when you look at it, it isn't logical. In a world where hot and cold running sex is considered acceptable, and if anybody doesn't find it acceptable, they're intolerant. You won't find that to be true for anything connected to Mormonism. And why? Well, I don't know. You can look at it. I personally think it's because Satan's very powerful, and he wants to reserve almost historical idiosyncrasies of Mormonism as totally, totally unacceptable. And it doesn't matter, you know, mass murderers find polygamy repugnant. You know, people who have sex with animals and treat them like spouses, they find polygamy repugnant. And it's like, oh, interesting. Why is this particular configuration so horrible? And you go, oh, it's because it's associated with Mormonism. So there's one thing you have to know. In any setting, amongst any kind of people, there will always be an increasingly and illogically exclusive hatred or denigration toward Mormonism. And yeah, it's completely illogical, like I was saying. You know, they are hated among mass murderers. They're hated among every group. Every government has a problem with them. I wouldn't say it's completely exclusive, but as time passes, it becomes more and more and more and more exclusive. It's a it's amazing to watch as every other activity is said, hey, people can do whatever they want, except the Mormons. We will always find reasons to say that Mormons shouldn't be allowed to do what they do, even though you kind of look at it after a while and you go, I don't understand why this thing that Mormons did is so sinister compared to, you know, hot and cold running sex or child molestation and abuse in other settings isn't a bad thing, you know. The LGBT community panders to people who could be considered pedophiles. And you're going, you know, this is, Mormonism doesn't preach that, although, but Mormons are wicked, and LGBTQ people are now blessed, you know. They're a special group that has to be protected, and boy, if we're not creating bathroom situations to accommodate all the weird flavors of it, it's like, well, okay, I guess we're going to have to do that. You know, Mormons don't get special bathroom facilities, and you know what? They never will. Anyway, so that's one thing to know. Number two, the whole thing about, you know, Christians. Christians all say that Mormons are going to burn in hell, and you go, and why exactly is that? And you go, well, it's because, and they come up with 5,000 reasons, and about half of them really don't make any logical sense. Like, okay, you know, they'll say, well, you don't agree with most of the rest of the group, Christendom, about several things. Therefore, you guys are deceptive and you're all going to burn in hell. And I've always been kind of like, wait a minute. I said, okay, you know, those guys say, well, you don't accept our baptisms. And I go, no, we don't have to, you know, it's a, you know, if you put aside all of the religious arguments, it isn't very logical. You know, those guys say, well, you Mormons take it too far and you're too particular about your certain brand of it. And you're going, okay, I'm sorry. So, all right, after I die and I go to heaven, it says, you know, most of Christianity that really pulls a stunt and says, oh, Mormons are evil, and if you join that church, it's a cult, and it's going to be evil, and God isn't going to save you, and stuff like that. And you go, okay, if I do more than a Christian does, if I have a particular mode of baptism, most Christians don't even believe baptism's even a requirement for salvation anymore. You know, interesting. Used to be, but not anymore. You know, and you're going, so, you know, if Christ is wonderful and he doesn't even care about you really particularly getting baptized, and all you have to do is proclaim your faith in him and your acceptance of him as a savior to be saved, then what difference does it make that I get baptized in a certain way? You know, from just a strictly logical standpoint, what difference does it make if I do more or if I do it in a certain way when most people say it really doesn't matter? You know, have I professed Christ? Yes. You know, and you're going, oh, well, if you've done that, then I guess you're saved. But no. Why? Well, it's because of that first rule. I'm sorry. Mormons can't be okay. You know, they will be the most maligned group ever. In fact, You're blessed by God if you malign a Mormon. It doesn't matter what it says about loving your neighbor and stuff like that in the Bible. It doesn't really matter because, you know, it's always acceptable to be bigoted against Mormons and against the Mormon Church and against, I'm sorry, I'm using the terms that we're not supposed to use, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I'm using it just to prove a point. You know, this is everybody's being sucked into this whole thing, and you're going, you know, and the Christian world is really quite silly in its assertion that, oh well, you guys' rules, they're just too strict. Christ is going to damn you for not drinking coffee. That's, you know, in our world, drinking coffee's fine. In your world, it's not. And you shall be damned for it. And you're going, golly. It says, do you really believe in a Christ that's, you know, it says, your Christ doesn't seem to have a lot of requirements. If you add a few more requirements, does that destroy everything? And they can pull out some scriptures that can seem to say that, and you know, it says, and that's their belief system, fine. It says, but yeah, does it look kind of, I don't know the right word, pedantic? Anyway, yeah, it makes Jesus sound really silly, you know, when it's like, you know, oh, well, he doesn't care about this, 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 and this. But if you say that it matters, you know, Christ is going to condemn you. And you're going, wow. So trying, you know, and I'm sorry, these things have proven over time, demonstrably, almost scientifically, and probably scientifically, to be a good thing. Drinking, not drinking coffee or not smoking tobacco, for instance. These things, and I'm not saying, oh boy, it was revelation. Isn't it amazing? And you go, ah, you can just put that aside. You know, living a healthier lifestyle. So that's gonna be a sin. When anybody else does it, it's a smart thing to do. When a Mormon does it, it's bad, wrong, constricting, terrible, evil. You know, and it's like, it is one of the strangest forms of kind of a double standard that there can be. But okay, you know, this is, you know, it just goes back to the whole thing. You know, Mormons are the permanently maligned group. It will never not be so. And does it make any sense? No, I don't care. You know, and this psychological fella on Mormon Stories is using the tools of psychology to say why it's okay for everybody else to do all kinds of stuff, but Mormons be damned for doing it. You know, is it a cult? I guess you can make whatever definitions you want, and let me tell you, if it's something that makes Mormons look bad, it'll stick. It's stunning. It's amazing. Anyway, so, and you know, and I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you know, you should treat Mormons better. No, I'm not saying that. Because I don't mind being associated with a maligned group. It was, you know, if you want to go back to Joseph Smith, or if you want to even go back to Jesus or the apostles in the Bible, they said that true believers would be a maligned group. It says, you know, and people say, well, I'm a Christian and we're maligned. And you go, where? You know, and you go, eh, well, maybe a little, but not much, you know. Oh, and I'm sorry, I'm doing this off the cuff. It's not very polished, you know, sorry. And I'm not saying these like Mormon stories or ex-Molex are particularly scripted. I'm not going to say that because it's not important. It's not important. And I'm not trying to, you know, are they having a tough time? Yes. Is it remarkably self-inflicted? And you're going, for the most part, yes. You know, oh, my bishop didn't treat me exactly right. My bishop didn't do it this way or that way. And boy, it says, you know what? I said, you guys are being, you guys are creating this weird standard to which you don't really, you don't anticipate anybody else being able to do it. Is your government into total disclosure? And you're going, boy, no. a little bit, but not much, you know. The guy was about consent. You've got to have consent, and I guess that kind of implies that you'll have full disclosure of everything that goes on, you know. That was kind of his thing. He had been excommunicated from the church. I don't really know why, and I'm sure this guy has his own take on why he was excommunicated. And it's probably quite different from the bishop in the council, the disciplinary council, that excommunicated him. I'm pretty sure that's probably true. And it probably just has to do with, you know, the group, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, your particular little group of it, a branch or a ward or whatever, it's not good for you to keep people who are against the group, are against the things that bring you together. If you've decided that you don't think much of those things and you're being vocal about it, that's usually what gets these people in trouble, you know, is actually kind of being a detractor. The group can kick you out. it's, I mean, that works every place else. If you went to the Kiwanis Club, and all you did when you went to the Kiwanis Club meetings is trash Kiwanis, they'd rip up your membership card, kick you out, and say you couldn't come anymore. That's just exactly what the LDS Church does, except that it's okay for the Kiwanis Club to do that, but it's totally unacceptable for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to do it. Why? Because they're the most maligned, most acceptably maligned group that's ever existed. You know, whatever. You don't have these people with, now he makes a huge distinction, and I think he brought up a few times, I forget what term he actually used, but it was all about having heavy requirements. He found that to be the real dividing thing. I guess if a organization or a group doesn't have very many requirements, he doesn't have a problem with them behaving a certain way. You know, like the Kiwanis Club. Oh yeah, if you trash the Kiwanis group, they can kick you out, and who cares? You know, you don't see a huge upheaval and numerous groups on YouTube or what's that new one, TikTok, whatever, talking about how horrible the Kiwanis Club was or is or whatever, you know, because apparently they don't have any big requirements, which I find funny. Well, no. Okay, anyway. Anyway, so, yeah, we can't make a comparison there, you know. Now, I don't see this stuff for Baptist churches. I guess it's because Baptist churches don't really have a lot of requirements on them, you know. We don't make people do a lot of stuff. Not very many of those pesky commandments to get in the way of people just saying, you know what, I'm not going to be a part of your Baptist church anymore, and I'm not going to smear it. And you go, wow, okay, well, there, you know, I don't see those huge groups going against, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention, for instance, although they're kind of petering out anyway. But I don't see the huge groups that are helping it peter faster. Anyway, I guess, you know, because it just doesn't require much. Anyway, so, yeah, it just comes back to the whole thing, you know. I said, you know, it's illogical. There's something that doesn't make sense for how much hatred and venom there is against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints relative to anybody else. Anybody. I would stack it up against anything. However much people hate the United States of America, the government, or the nation, or, you know, I see less overt hatred of the United States than I do of Mormonism. And the United States makes you do a whole lot. You pay, you know, when people say, well, you give 10% to the LDS Church. Oh my gosh. It says, you know, and apparently that goes, boy, that money goes straight to making the first presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles rich, and their gold-plated stuff, which I haven't really seen, but it doesn't matter, you know. The government of the United States of America takes a whole lot more of your money, and we've got much in the way of demonstrable evidence that congressmen, presidents, stuff like that are, you know, they demonstrably profit handsomely off of their position in government. And, you know, the most you can get from most people about the situation. Now, there's a few people who get really exercised about it, but by and large, there's a big ho-hum about it. Well, it's just the way it is. You know, and is it really bad? But it must not be, because nobody's really doing anything about it, or nobody that anybody takes very seriously does anything about it. But boy, let me tell you, within the fishbowl of anti-Mormonism, oh my gosh, there is no sin greater. And you're going, okay, all right. You know, you can say that it's made worse because it's done in the name of God and religion. And I guess you could make that accusation. But yeah, you know, I find it interesting that It says, and this is so standard, it's almost funny. It is very rare. Like, okay, when people leave the LDS church, they usually don't leave it for something, for like mainline Christianity. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because you can see that stuff. You have to understand, everything's magnified on YouTube. If you've seen somebody who says, "Oh, I walked away from the LDS church and now I'm an evangelical," or, you know, a Protestant or a Catholic or whatever. I'm not saying that those people don't exist, but let me tell you, if you've seen five of them on YouTube, they represent six people. It isn't like in other, and that's just YouTube, and that's just the way it is. It's a huge magnifying glass. If you're getting your information from that place, you're getting your information from somebody that doesn't represent some large group, typically. It's usually, especially if it's going to be a grievance thing, which is what all anti-Mormon is grievances. Grievances against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or individual Latter-day Saints. So bishops are a chief thing to be attacked, you know, and you go, wow, it says bishops don't get paid, bishops don't, they have, you know, we try to make them feel good about their jobs, but it's by and large thankless. You're going to have a certain number of people that just hate you by nature, probably because you control the use of church funds for, like, taking care of the poor and stuff like that. And if that bishop decides not to give you everything that you want in the way of, you know, food, clothing, shelter, money, whatever, to try to prop up your, just for that, then yeah, you've got people who are angry at you. How dare you tell me that, you know, I need to be a better person or you're not going to give me money. You know, the United States government has a bad habit of, it doesn't matter what kind of a person you are. If you appear poor, they'll dump money on you as long as you keep the rules of getting that money. You know, and there's people who get angry at the government because the government won't change the rules, won't make it simpler, won't, you know. They can't just give money to everybody. There's not enough money to give. Well, I guess that's not true. It doesn't matter. You know, in the church, which certainly cannot print more money like the government can, you know, the bishop ends up being the great target of being maligned. Bishops and stake presidents, I guess. You know, and so you're going to hear a lot about, my bishop, there was this, I watched this other one, which was about this young woman, you know, she was 14, and she had sex with somebody. Now, you got to know that most of Christianity, not most Christianity, the Bible's pretty pointed about sexual relations. They're a sin. They're bad. And you shouldn't have them. So, although I must say that anymore, most of the Christian churches have decided to give up on that one. It's just simpler just to say, oh, well, you know, Jesus loves you and it's okay. He'll forgive you. You know, and they give a lot of justifications for it. The LDS church doesn't do that. You know, it's this thing, and it's considered a sin for which you have to repent. And how that repentance is done, I'm usually totally confused about exactly how a person's supposed to repent of sexual sins, except stop doing it. And I think that's where most of the focus tends to be, is to say we need to repent. It says, and this is good, you know, and there's some logic to it. If you've been a real sexual creature, you know, well, that makes it sound bad. If you've had lots of sex with lots of different partners before you get married, it really does tend to taint a marriage, you know. You kind of come into it with baggage, and marriages can't stand tons of baggage. Some, not tons. And, you know, and that's just statistical, I think. You know, same thing is almost with everything else that God has set up as a commandment that Latter-day Saints and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints seek to be true to. You know, it usually causes more problems than just, oh, the LDS Church has a problem with what I'm doing, which is, you will hear this all the time from these anti-Mormons, ex Molex and her hard lemonade, her saying, oh, we need to understand, you know, I didn't have full disclosure about sexuality, you know, before I got married, and it's the church's fault. And they're going, what? Why are you blaming the church for that? That's pretty standard all around. Although we find that when schools, a totally secular, or what you would hope to be a totally secular outfit, although they are quite into the atheistic, let's just call it cult. You know, if they're going to call us a cult, I can call them cults too. Because they are, you know, by the same criteria. Anyway, you know, and when people say, well, schools aren't affected by religion, and you go, sure they are. They are totally affected by the religion of intersexuality, by the religion of atheism, you know, all this stuff. It's a demonstrable thing, you know. So you don't have to sit there and wonder, you know. Atheists can walk the halls of schools with impunity. You know, their atheism is totally protected, where religiosity in the name of Christianity or you know, you might as well make it separate, because Christians don't accept Mormons, and you know, might as well make it separate. They can't walk the halls with impunity. They, you know, they get into trouble if they act too Christian or act too Mormon. It's just a reality. Anyway, schools can try to set sexual, you know, try to do more full disclosure of sexuality, and strangely enough, the sociological indicators of whether this is a good idea or not don't go better with full disclosure about sexuality. It actually goes worse. You know, all of the socially problematic things. Now, you have to know that in modern times, most of these things have been sanitized, whitewashed. Part of the way you solve the problem of underage sexuality is just say, hey, there's not a problem. You know, that's okay. They can be sexual. You know, used to be that masturbation was considered to be a bad thing. You know, because it usually went along with pornography, which went along with just being socially warped. And yeah, and not a good thing. Well, now masturbation's okay. Society's working hard to make sure that pornography is more acceptable because the blessed groups like the LGBT community have a certain affinity for pornographic stuff. Therefore, you know, it's saying, well, because the blessed group doesn't have a problem with it, we have to make the larger community not have a problem with it. And that's really the goal of a lot of these, deviant groups, is that they want their pet degeneracy to be acceptable or even lauded, and they don't mind tearing up all of society to make it happen. So, you know, there it is. What do you do? That's just where these things go. I feel justified in making this recording a little long because the recording that I got from Mormon Stories, the interview with Exmo Lex was more than 4 hours. I usually don't go that long because I'm not interviewing somebody. You know, I don't do comments. I don't listen to other people and how they feel about it. And I know people are extremely angry because I don't provide for them a venue to respond to me. Like I said, you can come up with your own venue to do it. Says, I don't have to do that. Says, it's out there. I said, you know, my publishing patterns are not unique to me. Anybody else can probably use them too. I tend to use free stuff, so there's really no cost to it either. Enjoy. Anyway, so most of the problems that people have with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are, yeah, you know, go back to that first rule that I was talking about, the fact that they're always going to be a malign group. And the really funny part is that as more time passes, it gets more silly, and people who say it have to come up with much more extravagant justifications for why they say bad things about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or Latter-day Saints individually, while not holding practically anybody else to the same standard. it's hilarious. You know, Christendom looks silly when it kills itself to try to say how evil, wicked, terrible, and unchristian Latter-day Saints are, when it's like, but you guys don't even attempt to do any of this stuff. You know, the good stuff you do in very small proportion compared to Latter-day Saints and their church. And yet, you're good and they're bad. It is illogical. When independent groups study Latter-day Saints, they tend to score better on good stuff and tend to score worse on bad stuff, statistically. And you're going, but it is a group that is universally maligned, not completely universally, but gets a disproportionate amount of malignment. I'm sorry, that's not a word, probably, but I think you get my meaning. it's disproportionate. And they always say, oh, it's bad, it's worse. It's probably the best example we have of everything that's evil about the world. And you go, yet statistically, everything that people think is the right way to go, Latter-day Saints tend to score better than other groups or society in general. It's hilarious, you know, because it's like, okay, they're bad people, but yet they're good at everything. That's good. I'm not saying there's not a greasy underbelly. There's always going to be a greasy underbelly. People are always going to be able to find something to justify their grievance. You know, and you can sit there, you know, Mormon stories. It's a platform for digging up grievances against the LDS Church. And it's like, well, okay, it's profitable, you know. So I'm sorry, I don't know how lucrative it ultimately ends up being, but it's profitable enough that they keep doing it. And he's got a nice little studio. It must be worth it to him on some level. And like for Lexi, I can't think that it's some kind of crusade. You know, that sounds a little too Christian for an atheist. Which she finally said, she goes, yeah, my husband and I are atheists. I said, I think it's funny because, you know, she actually also on occasion speaks well of the culture and says, oh, I'm glad that it had the influence it had on me for being a decent person, a good person. You know, atheists always steal the ethics of God. You know, I think it's hilarious because they say, oh, well, we would have come up with it independently. And you go, funny, says it seems like every culture around Judeo-Christian belief system was full of, you know, child sacrifice, the strong preying on the weak, you know, stuff like that. And you're going, but yet you think that you would have independently come up with these kinds of values in a vacuum. And you go, no, you stole your values from the Judeo-Christian tradition, yet you're not paying the piper, you know. You're looking at its greasy underbelly and saying, no, 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 it's evil. You know, we're better. This is a better way to be. And you go, yeah, this is hilarious. This is, you know, if there is actually a reality to the evils of cultural appropriation, it would be atheists, you know, adopting Judeo-Christian values and saying that they would have come up with them independently. And you're going, no, I don't think so. He says, trust me, it's the Judeo-Christian tradition that, you know, makes it so you can walk down the streets without getting molested by gangs and stuff like that, by somebody just simply taking your stuff, or enslaving you, or, you know, turning you into some kind of manorial serf, which is funny because even with the Judeo-Christian tradition, these things still happened. And you go, why on earth do you think that with the absence of it, it would be better? This is, chances are it would be worse. and there would not be any way to get that to stop. So I find it hilarious because, oh, I finally remember now when I was too. When people leave the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they usually do not leave it for some form of Christendom. They tend to leave it for atheism, because that's what motivated them. Even though it's very fun and very profitable to speak against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the problem is that if you go to another church, you start seeing that they have some of the same features that you had a problem with among the Mormons. You know, you know, it doesn't change, you know. So, yes, Latter-day Saints tend to go atheist, or if they decide to walk away from it. There's a few that I've seen who they say, well, I was saved, I was born again, you know. If you really play up the whole cult aspect of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it makes it a little easier to say, okay, I will join a church that's just less culty, and maybe that'll work for me. Although, you know, it really depends, you know. And these guys brought it up to the whole thing about, oh, Mormons say, well, you just really didn't have any faith in the religion to begin with. And you know, that's a natural thing. You didn't choose this stuff. It was something that your parents or your grandparents or great-grandparents chose. And they did it for their own private reasons. When you were raised with the church being your own thing, the basic rebellion, and all people basically want to rebel against what they came from in favor of what seems more, you know, what they would like to do. You know, your great-great-grandfather or your parents or whatever, I don't know how much rebellion they had to do to join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't know. But yeah, you could see that as a form of rebellion too. Or making a conscious choice to do this. And everybody says, well, you just weren't informed enough. Dude, that's life. We are never informed enough. I'm right now struggling with, I'm only 54, but I'm trying to think ahead, trying to make plans, because apparently this is a good idea, you know, about Social Security. And, you know, I'm getting into something where the chances of you doing it poorly or wrong or not getting as much benefits as you qualify for are amazingly good, just because it's complicated. And, you know, oh my gosh, you're never going to have full disclosure, because you can't. You want to read all the books? Okay, read all the books. There's a general handbook of instructions. I guess it's just now called the handbook. For how to conduct the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, all the policies and procedures around doing. And I feel bad for bishops, because they're supposed to memorize this thing practically. And you're going, oh my gosh, how are we ever going to do this? And you go, can I be honest? You really can't. You really can't. I mean, you can read through it occasionally. But the problem is, now it's become such a fluid document that, you know, it's like, well, how do I know that something I read two years ago hasn't changed twice since then, and I'm doing it wrong? And you're going, yeah, this is, you're kind of screwed no matter what happens. You know, ask any manager of any organization at all, and it's just, you spend most of your time coping with the fact that you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And you just have to become the kind of person that goes, I'm just gonna do it. Or you're gonna be the guy that says, I'm not gonna do it, and be not much of a manager. This is, there is no fantastic, godlike touching of the forehead that all of a sudden turns you into a magnificent leader. Infallible, no matter what any of the things say. Mormon bishops spend a lot of the time on their knees appealing to God for inspiration to help them with the problems that they face, mostly in trying to get people to come unto Christ. Now you can sit there and go, well, that's not the Christ I believe in. It doesn't matter. To behave a certain way and to stop behaving a bad way. Let's just put it into terms that don't seem religious. We want you not to have premarital sex. How are we going to do that? And you go, well, this is now society's had all kinds of ways of doing it. I don't know if the way today is better than it was in the past. Really, I don't. The way you did it in the past was to punish behavior and to preach the avoidance of things that would lead to it. Don't masturbate. It leads to all kinds of things, which leads to premarital sex, which is the sin. And everybody says, well, we shouldn't be weird about masturbation because, it's not, strictly speaking, a sin. And you're going, well, but it certainly leads to it. In the past, everybody looked at it and said, yeah, that's right. And now it's like, no. In fact, we think that if you let, kids masturbate, the tendency is that they won't have sex with somebody else because they'll take care of those sexual urges themselves. And you go, well, the whole point about avoiding premarital sex, keeping sexual intimacy within marriage was, to strengthen marriage and to make it work better and to bring children into marriages that are strong and yada yada yada, right? Says, how does masturbation fit into that? And you go, it doesn't. It tends to screw up a marriage, because, it's usually, well, what are you thinking about when you're masturbating? And you go, well, something. And you go, is it your wife? And you go, well, I'm not married. Says, oh, okay, can't be your wife, or whatever. Even if you do it during your marriage, trust me, if you're sitting there masturbating instead of having sexual relations with your wife or in addition to it, it doesn't make the relationship better. I think that's statistically demonstrable. I think it actually doesn't help, If it's a guy doing it, it doesn't make the wife feel any better. If the wife is doing it, the man's like, well, what does she even need me for? She's taking care of it herself. Why am I even here? Wow, what a great marriage. So there's, hello. It used to be handled better. Well, I don't know. Apparently, it used to work a little bit better in the past. Of course, everybody says, oh, we were so sexually frustrated, and it was so, oh, we just pounded ourselves with guilt and stuff like that. And you go, yeah, I think you're overstating that. I don't think we pounded ourselves with guilt. People who didn't masturbate didn't have guilt about that. You say, well, they were repressed. And you go, Is there a problem with being sexually repressed? You know, the whole thing was to drive you to marriage. Now, hopefully you married well. You know, people all say, oh, you know, they always compare it to the total worst that could be. Oh, it's going to drive you to totally marriages that are bad, and that, and there's a lot of abuse and violence around those marriages. And you go, you know, well, marry better. Don't marry some guy that's abusive. Don't, you know, and you go, well, I don't know. And you go, yeah, that's the chance we all take. That's why we have divorces. That's why we have things. And you go, oh, but there's so much pain and we live with it for our whole lives. And you go, well, you got to grow up and get past these things. Find something better. You know, this is, we've got mechanisms to make that happen. Now, we don't want you just flittering around from place to place like a freaking butterfly. You know, this is my 7th marriage. You know, we don't want that, because that is demonstrably not terribly good either. That says something about you as a marriage partner. Maybe you're a terrible marriage partner and you need to straighten up. You know, and most of society these days seems to be all about, oh, I shouldn't have to straighten up. I shouldn't have to live by standards, particularly a lot of standards, you know. And has it made society better? No. Has it made it more accommodating of deviancy, bizarreness, whatever? Sure. Is that good? I think statistically, or I don't know. Anyway, I think studies have shown that it doesn't. That being open-minded kind of unravels everything. Not open-minded. Being really accepting of tearing up traditional standards tends to make society unravel. And that is not a good thing. I think that's demonstrable. Anyway, so, yeah, after watching that thing from Mormon Stories, the interview, and you can go to YouTube. I think I've given you enough information. Mormon Stories, Exmo Lex is the name of the girl, her channel, sorry, on YouTube. And you can go visit her stuff on YouTube, and I guess she's on TikTok too. Anyway, you can go on there and you can say, oh yes, it is. It's horrible. Oh, and you're just going, but it's only horrible because that's the way it's framed. You know, it's framed to say, isn't this terrible? Now I'm free. I don't have to wear funny underwear, which I hated. Boy, they talked about that quite a bit. You know, it's like, okay. The stuff in the temple feels too much like Masonic rites. And you go, okay, so what's your point? You know, funny, they weren't trashing Masons. Why not? Well, you know, they aren't our target. We don't want to be viewed as being intolerant of Masons, although we could be damned intolerant of the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints and those deluded Mormons in general. And how dare my bishop keep this information from me? And, of course, the funny part was a lot of them said, well, those bishops don't know either. And you go, okay, this is, you know, like I said, bishop is not some kind of weird paid, you know, he's not profiting off of the church particularly at all. Not in a financial way, not in any way that Exmo Lex atheist should really care about. You know, atheists don't have, you know, if you're going to go down that road, don't start using the pleasantries of believing in God to make your points. You know, the only point you can have when you're an atheist is money and power. And I guess bishops might, within the community, wield some power. They certainly don't wield any money because the church doesn't pay them anything, you know. And you go, well, then that makes them a sucker. And you go, okay, well, let's go down that road. Why shouldn't you look, you know, why shouldn't you be kindly to that poor bishop who's obviously a victim of larger forces that he has, over which he has no control except to walk away from, you know. But no, bishops are part of the evil. Pawns, for lack of a better word, but very convenient to your arguments against things, which start sounding really kind of forced and slanted. Of course, you can always, it's all, like I said, it's that first great rule. You know, it's okay to be slanted. It's okay to say bad things about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and individual Latter-day Saints. Why? Because they are the most acceptably maligned group that ever has been and ever will be. Christians can't hold a candle to how maligned Latter-day Saints are. It's simply stunning. Simply stunning. And yeah, is it logical? No. You know, everybody else seems to give everybody else a bit of a pass. Because if they don't, you know, it'll just be viewed, oh, they just are negative and they hate everybody. But it's fine to be that way to Latter-day Saints and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So, you know, it's to the point to where you can actually profit off of it. Mormon Stories has a nice studio. I'm sure that studio was built and is maintained by donations or advertising. That works very, very well. You know, there it is. And whether one began with the whole idea of they were going to monetize this, it doesn't matter because it gets there. It self-perpetuates. Trust me. The work of Satan, and this is going to be one of the few times I'm actually going to do to make a religious statement. It isn't really about God. It's about Satan. Satan rewards those who help him with his work, which is the destruction of good and true. And one should consider that when these things come. How did I come by this money? How did I come by this fame? How did I come by all of it? And you're going, huh? Is it good? You know? And you're going, well, I don't know. I know a lot of good people who get demonetized by YouTube, yet I don't. You're going, why is that? Am I really doing a good thing, you know, in the face of the demonetizing that's happening to traditional values, to conservatives, to anything like that? Anyway, it just speaks to the whole thing of whose side are you on? If you're being praised and pat on the head and you're getting a lot of money thrown at you and there's advertising in front of the things that you're you're putting out there says doesn't seem like you're having a tough time. And you go, why is that? Why are you not having a tough time? Are you finding yourself doing things so that you don't bite the hand that feeds you? Anyway, I think I'm getting a little tired, which is good. I need to get a little more sleep before I eventually have to get back up. Or is it just so late? No, it's only 4 o'clock now. I've only been doing this for about a little over an hour, which is about right. I'm sorry, these 4 hour things are just amazing. But yeah, I said, so yeah, when these guys come up and they say, oh, Joseph Smith was a pedophile, Joseph Smith was this and Joseph was that, the church acts like a cult, you tend to be shunned if you don't believe what the thing says, and you're going, any community's gonna be like that. Says, you can't do that in any real community of people that actually come together purposefully. I'm not talking about like your town. Come on, that's not a community. People want to make it sound like it is, but it's not. If five liberals come into a conservative town, it's over. The place is going to go liberal. Why? Because that's just the way it is. The liberals are gonna scream about stuff, and the conservatives are just gonna say, well, okay, I guess it was nice for a while. Now it's not nice anymore. I did a whole thing about coyote hunting in the day, about how it used to be done, and then some Californians moved out to Grady, New Mexico, and the school used to sponsor the big hunt. There was actually money in it. The government will pay you or ranchers certainly will pay you for killing coyotes. Well, the Californians have a soft spot for them. They love that coyotes tend to do. And so yeah, it was like, oh no, we can't, the school can't sponsor that as a fundraiser, or can't sponsor it at all. So somebody else had to do it. I'm sure they're working hard to put legislation in place saying they can't do that either, and that's what happens, So yeah, when people talk about the community and try to put that toward a locality, oh, you're screwed. It's not going to work. I mean, they say, well, Utah does whatever the Mormon Church wants, and you go, not so much anymore. It used to be that the standards of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were very prominent in Utah politics because there was so many Latter-day Saints there. But now that that's not true, lots of people have moved in. Californication, which is a thing, it is not about Latter-day Saints particularly. It's happening everywhere. More people. People say, oh, the place where I come from suck. They don't really attach the fact that half the time it sucked where they came from because of them, because of the way they voted, or because of what they allowed to have happen, or what they shouted about and demanded. And they'll go to some new place that's nice and wonderful and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? And they'll screw it up. Because they'll start shouting and screaming and making their political will known. And yeah, and Utah is becoming like California, just as screwed up as California is. Because a lot of Californians went to Utah. And that's why it's like, well, I don't want Californians coming to where I live. Luckily, I'm far enough away, it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, is it going to destroy what's left of the community where I live? Sure. Is it going to be the nice little it's kind of a Baptist enclave? I don't mind Baptists because they tend to have a lot of the same morals I do, although they hate me. Not an incompatible standards group. But, you know, if too many Californians move into our town, well, it's all over, you know. Because, yeah, there will be more of them than there are of the Baptists, and that's it. You know, and that's just life. Latter-day Saints have to be okay with whatever culture they live within, because always be a sincere minority. But, and like I said, hated disproportionately, you know. You know, nothing to challenge the Christian love of a Baptist than sticking a Mormon in there. Oh my gosh, never seen eyes go red and blood pouring out of, you know, ears and stuff like that than when a devout Baptist is confronted with a Latter-day Saint. Oh my gosh. It's amazing. And it's okay. You know, I don't give them a hard time. Oh, I try not to. To say, you know, says I know it's deep in your soul to hate me. And it's beyond Christianity, the hatred, you know. Everything in the Bible applies to how you feel about everybody else except Mormons. Because, you know, it's totally acceptable. And you will never be labeled a bigot for being mean, hating, thwarting Latter-day Saints. It just won't happen. Anyway, and so, yeah. Love these channels. Profiteering off of being, low level, I don't know if you want to call it hatred, but I think it ultimately gets there. You know, like Lexi was saying, she goes, when I first started this journey, I would have never showed off my garments. I never would have revealed to everybody what goes on in the temple. But I've gotten to that point. And she, you know, she says she's a stronger person for it. And you go, oh, yeah. And it even brought up, you know, some people say, hey, I don't stomp on what you consider sacred. Don't worry. Exmo Lex pretty much has said that there isn't anything that she finds particularly sacred. So you don't have to accommodate her that way. So of course, is she going to be sacred about your stuff? No. You know, she's getting retaliatory. If not for things done directly to her, for things that people that are a part of her anti-Mormon group, things that have been done to other people in the group. You know, it justifies her. I wasn't, you know, she had a pretty typical experience, except that she was, you know, oh, I was riddled with guilt all the time about not doing this, about not doing that, about not taking funeral potatoes to every single family who had anything happen to them that was a change. You know, the stock market took a turn, and she had to take, you know, and some wards and branches are weird, or some people get really weird about taking funeral potatoes over to somebody who, you know, might have lost $1,000 of their millions in the stock market. I'm playing with that. It's mostly about big things that happen. Births, deaths, you know, somebody losing a job, something like that, yeah, you know. And she was just, you know, at the end of the day, it sounded like that she was just doing too much, and she felt like it was a horrible imposition on her. And sure, can you feel that way? Absolutely. What do you do? And at first, I think she handled it pretty well. She just said, you know what, I don't have to do that, you know. And she says, but there was so much social pressure from the group to do that. And you go, yeah, that's what social groups tend to be. They tend to pressure themselves. You know, the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints is a freaking pressure cooker of social expectations, especially in the Jello Belt, Utah, Idaho, Arizona, the Pioneer region, I guess is how we say it. I just call it the Jello Belt. It's where people tend to eat a lot of Jello. I don't know what the thing is about Latter-day Saints and Jello. It's like funeral potatoes. This is where did that come from? And you go, no, it was a traditional thing they did over there. It says, now I stay away from Utah. I try to avoid that culture. But I found that it doesn't matter. This is, most of the people that I'm around are converts from other religions, predominantly Baptist, in a place like Tucumcari. And there was those same expectations, maybe not to the depth that Latter-day Saints do it in, but it was the same sort of expectations that they brought from their Baptist background, was that, you know, you went and you helped put people out in their extremities. It's a somewhat Christian thing to do, but of course, you know, it's a fine thing for Baptists to do to the level that they do them. Mormons are evil, you know, too much pressure, too much of this and that. And you're going, you sound like a person that says it. So, you know, you can, it's people who feel like they can't choose how they engage with the church, and they can, you can do that. You know, is there going to be a little bit of thing? Oh, are you okay? Is everything all right? You know, you know, are you feeling a little out of sorts? And her story was that she went from being in it deep, you know, overworked. Molly Mormon mommy, in a matter of 3 weeks, she went from that to, I don't want to have contact with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints anymore. And the fact that she wasn't going to be left alone, her expression of anger, I guess, came from a nursery leader, you know, who sent a little packet to their girls saying, we sure miss you at church at nursery. And apparently that was one of the straws that helped break her back about, you know, and it was like, well, that bishop did a bad job of telling everybody at church that they shouldn't have any relations with us at all. And you're going, yeah, it doesn't work that way. We don't have this, you know, she has a wonderful point about the basic ignorance of members of the church about how the church works, which is hilarious when they've grown up in it and they've been surrounded by it. And you're saying, were you just that dim that you didn't know that, you know, your mother spent a certain amount of time, probably at least weekly, trying to help keep people coming to church on some level? You know, that's part of the community. You know, the church is their community center. That's, you know, If you don't show up at the community center sometime, people wonder about whether you're still in the community. Anyway, you know, and they want to do something to, you know, take care of your concerns about why you're not coming to the community. You know, are you sick? Do we need to bring you something? Are funeral potatoes needed in your home? I'll go get some, you know. These are the acts of nice people. And there isn't this fantastic, it isn't, you know, they all say, well, they just all get together and conspire all day long about, you know, making sure they keep you in, making sure you're paying your tithing, making sure you're doing all that. And you go, you know what? No, we don't. This is, I've got a life. I've got other things to do. There might be somebody who's really that amazing. It says, you know, we would praise that nursery leader for going out and trying to get those little kids to come to church and maybe get their family to come too. Because some people don't come to church because they go, you know what, it's such a pain in the butt. You know, my kid screams all the time and it's just, I'm just not getting anything out of it. And that's part of what nursery is there for, is to make it so you can get something out of your church experience, right? You know, is that bad? And you go, well, this person seems to think it's bad. You know, and the bishop's not sitting there going, okay, everybody, here's our do not contact list. And it's a huge sucker. The activity level of people who have been baptized and are therefore on the records of the church is stunningly bad. In Utah, where it's the best, it's 25%. 25% of people who are on the lists actually show up, are active, you know, are a part of the, you know, are actual active participants in the community. And that's the good stuff. When you get away from Utah, the numbers are worse. I think we've got about 300 people who have been baptized that we know of that are on our lists, and 50 are actually kind of active. That's not very good numbers. That's just life. That's, what do you do? You know, so you go out and you go and you see those people and you say, well, what can I do? Is there something about, you know, number one, the community isn't going to change. It's a church. We don't, you know, we are based on common standards. We are based on a common belief. We're not going to change our beliefs to try to get you to come. Okay? I know that's very upsetting to a certain proportion of people who say that you should be able to do like you do in your town, you know, when a bunch of people from California come to your town and, you know, they start showing up at town meetings and they start voting and they start doing all this stuff. The town tends to start changing to accommodate those new people in town. Christian churches, you get the impression that they have started kind of behaving the same way. They're all getting to kind of be a lot alike and kind of starting to fall to the lowest common denominator, and that's terrible. That's, you know, I can't think of a church that can survive doing that, and I think the statistics will bear that out. Fewer people go to mainline Christian churches because they're seen as too floppy. Just, you know, well, our group has, you know, a couple of very vocal people have come in and they don't like some of the conservative values of this church. We want to liberalize things and it starts happening. You know, if that's the way you do it, the LDS church is not democratic, never has been. And if you think it should be, you're barking up the wrong tree. You know, this is a church. If you want things to be handled in a democratic manner, You need to go be part of another group, be in a club, be, you know, be civically active, because that's where democracy holds some power. Not in a church, for people, or shouldn't be in a church, because when your church starts acting like that, you start losing people. You know, your old timers start wandering off, saying, "Eh, this isn't the church I grew up in. This is no, you guys have lost me." And the LDS Church, sadly, now it isn't done by a democratic thing, but they do look at the statistics, and they do make adjustments. And yes, are we losing some of the old timers? Yes. I'm getting older, and you know what? I'm starting to be one of those old timers that just says, you know what? I'm not sure I'm in favor of some of these changes. Now you have to understand that it is a community that's built around this other thing, and the other thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ restored through Joseph Smith. If you don't like that, boy, you're not going to like the, you're not going to be a big fan of the community that's built around it. Now, Utah's gone nutty. You know, I think everybody can see that. The church still has to try to help those people get to exaltation, becoming like God. That's a whole other thing. People say, "Oh, well, that's just too much to ask of people. Blah, 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 blah. We can't ask them to do that." Heck, you know, Exmo Lex has a problem with not being able to imbibe carefree in hard lemonade, apparently. Which she was just being a snot, going to her Latter-day Saint family, going to a family get-together, and she's bringing hard lemonade. What an asshole. I'm sorry. That's just like spitting in people's faces. That's spitting in your parents' faces. That's just, I mean, it is. It's like, what kind of a family member are you? And they go, "Well, they don't treat me very nice. They're not accepting of all the things I'm doing." And you go, "No, look at you. That's just rude. You know that that's not part of the family culture. And you bringing it, no wonder they kind of avoid you and tell the kids, you know, just keep your distance from that. No wonder they do that. You're undermining the family culture, and you're doing it publicly. I mean, you're doing it on YouTube, for Pete's sakes. Oh, I don't ever want to say anything bad about my family." Oh, bull crap. What kind of crap is that? That's exactly what you're doing. If you don't want to be part of the family culture, you know, and she spoke out about this, darn, you know, "I don't think it's very nice to say, well, fine, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it. But don't broadcast it," you know, which is exactly what she, the sense she got from her family was, you know, if you don't want to be a part of the church, fine, don't go. Says, but you don't have to make a freaking YouTube channel about it, from which she profits at her family's and the culture that raised her expense. I find that just kind of, you know, if you don't want to have anything to do with your culture, fine. It says, but yeah, it says, now you're taking it to a weird level, you know, and it's like, oh, you're a terrible person. Okay. Well, I guess that's okay for an atheist to be. It's okay if atheists are terrible people, because you guys don't have any standards to keep anyway. You know, happy day for you. You know, enjoy whatever money that this channel makes. And I'm sorry to say that YouTube channels that are kind of about tawdry things, I think they do just fine. I think they get some fine income. I don't know if it's enough to let you quit your job, but you know, plenty of hard lemonade to go around, you know, for the person who says, well, I don't have to keep those rules anymore. And you're going, okay. You go, you do know that, alcohol isn't considered very good. And there's some, you know, and I'm sorry, that's statistical. You can say, well, that's what the Mormon would say. And you go, yeah, there's some studies that weren't done by Mormons that say that, you know, you should probably just avoid alcohol altogether. You know, some say a little bit is good, and you're going, well, now the big question is, how much is a little bit? How much is okay? You know, how much beer are you putting in your fridge? You know, soft drinks aren't good either, and the Mormons haven't put a prohibition on that yet. Probably because God didn't say to, so it didn't happen. And those aren't seen as very good. But I'm sure that in your fridge, you have replaced some of the space that you might have put soft drinks, and you've replaced it with something a little more alcoholic. By your own admission, sorry, and you're going, and so this is good, this is better, you know, well, I don't feel so guilty, and you go, oh, yes, you're just, you know, okay, you don't have to feel guilty about it, that's fine, but just know that even if you didn't believe any of the doctrine of the LDS Church, they gave you some moral standards that are considered by most sociologists, almost all sociologists, to be positive. And you're flushing those down the toilet as well. And you're getting paid handsomely for having done that. I don't know if it's handsomely. But it's probably enough for beer money or hard lemonade money. And, yeah, I know you don't care if you're a hypocrite. That's the first standard of being an atheist, is that you can't be accused of being a hypocrite when you're an atheist. Because, you know, you don't stand for anything. That's whatever. Anyway, oh, God. See, I keep rattling on. I need to stop. Okay. So, yeah, you can go and check it out. You know, and people say, oh, there's so many people that go on my thing. Say, oh, thank you so much. And it's mostly about, you know, I feel as weighed down by standards and things that I'm asked to do, and contributions I'm asked to make to the church, the community, let's call it that, because that kind of makes it sound a little better to some people, you know, and that they don't want to make that contribution anymore, and you're giving them interesting reasons why they shouldn't have to. And you go, okay, this is, it's all right. You know, whether there is a salvation ahead, whether any of us get out of this life alive, you know, this is, I don't think it's bad to have standards. I think it's pretty good to have standards. I think there's lots of statistics, oh my gosh, to say that better people come from these sorts of standards. And, you know, now I think it's great because it says, why am I being castigated for doing a little bit? You know, they would say, oh no, it's a ton. And you go, oh, I don't think so. I'm sorry. It says, I think you've gotten to the point to where if you feel anybody has any call on wanting you to behave a certain way at all, I'm sure you would be very upset being pulled over for speeding by a police officer, because how dare he tell you the standards that you're supposed to be keeping? It's like, well, okay, you can do that too, that's fine. But yeah, you're already displaying the fact that you're the sort of person that you would really be, you're trying to say that you're a decent person, but I think when push comes to shove, you're already showing that having a community standard really pisses you off, or really makes you feel guilty, and you don't want to feel guilt. And the way you handle it is to stop participating in the group. Anyway, yeah, and people say, well, I'm a bad person because I'm doing, I'm holding up a certain set of standards that demonstrably make society work better and make life better for everybody. There's a certain price I pay for that, sure. Am I a little more guilty than somebody who just has no standards at all? Well, shoot, yeah, of course I am. When I don't do those, when I do them, I don't feel guilt. It's like, why on earth should you feel guilty about, stuff you're not doing, contributions you're not making? Seems like God's already put into place things to say, well, I've got a community here, and I'm making an effort to, and I'm serving that community. Boy, isn't that a good thing? Yeah, sure. I was just doing a talk about, church. We do talks, and I did a talk about all the money and all the time that Latter-day Saints give charitably, and they go, well, most of it's within their own church. And you go, so what? Isn't that still a charitable thing, or is that evil? I said, oh, since it's Latter-day Saints doing it within the Latter-day Saints church, of course it's going to be evil. The first rule makes it so, of course, of course. Anyway, yeah, says it's nice to have charity from somebody that you know. Says, sorry, if it's a little insular, this is, well, if you want that kind of care at that kind of level, hey man, that might be one of the reasons why you want to join the church. That might not have anything to do with with your particular faith. Hey, one of the biggest problems was I went on a mission to Utah, back in the day when there weren't so many Californians, so it was kind of weird. There weren't very many non-Mormons there, but we started proselytizing to them anyway, and there were plenty of people who were joining the church because of social benefits, not because of the doctrine particularly. I know one guy who joined the church because it thought it would get him ahead at his job. I think it actually did. A guy that sold cars, he joined the church because he thought he would get more sales. I'm pretty sure he did. Plenty of people join the church because they think it will get them more church welfare assistance, And that's a mixed bag. You can have a bishop that's really easy with the charitable funds. And he's in charge of them. It isn't his money, but he's in charge of making sure that it gets used properly, given, Anyway, so, golly, if you do all these things, let's see, you're probably a better person. You're probably a better neighbor. And on top of it, just on the off chance that there is an afterlife, Aren't you going to fare pretty good there as well? Especially if Christ is in charge of that afterlife, like so many Christians say. Of course, Christians say, "Oh, you Mormons, you work too hard. It's an evil thing." And you're going, "Wow, I've never heard of being more charitable, trying a little harder to be, to follow the example of Jesus Christ, being a sinful thing to do." Some people think of it as, in a weird sense, as pride. I guess it could be, if you do it wrong, or do it in a, well, it doesn't matter. You know, for the person who needs help, I don't think they really care about the motivation of the person giving them the help, particularly. They're just grateful for the help. And you could always look at it that way. And yeah, if there is an afterlife, if Jesus gets all weird because you gave too much, you kept too many standards, or some of the standards just weren't necessary, but it helped you be a be, I don't think Christ is going to say, "Oh, you didn't drink coffee, you are out. Heaven is only for coffee drinkers." It's like, ouch. And that's just, and that just, I think anybody would say that's a little silly. And you go, yeah, it is. If you're staying away from things that aren't particularly good for you, certain groups call that a horrible thing, it's like, oh, come on. Get with the program. What? What? Anyway, so yeah, this is no, this is, if Jesus seems that penny-ante about that kind of stuff, then, you can probably have a nice little enclave of Mormons right there in hell, and it'll probably be pretty nice. They tend to make their surroundings pretty nice. That's why the Californians like Utah so much. It's pretty, and it's nice, and it's a place they want to raise their kids, strangely enough. And it's like, well, then I guess hell's going to be like that too. And so yeah, if it's going to go like that, this is the Latter-day Saints will figure out a way to make it work for them. They made the desert, Utah desert, into a pretty decent place. This is, I think they'll do fine wherever they end up going. You'll have to try to split them up and tear them up to make hell a proper place. Oh, wait, that's what the anti-Mormons are up to. They're trying to rip up the community. It seems like they're acting in favor of hell. So, wow. Enjoy that. Okay, now I've gone way over and I apologize. Yeah, now it's 5 o'clock. It's about time for me just to get up and get going. So, there it is. I think I covered all the things I wanted to cover. It was taking me a long time to get around to the, and if heaven really is there, Latter-day Saints will make it a nicer place. And if Christians think that's a bad thing, that's frankly their business. They can go and play at the golf course wherever they are, and the Latter-day Saints will probably clean it up for them. Anyway, that's okay. They'll probably have a smile on their face and provide all the funeral potatoes you could possibly want, just from the kindness of their hearts. Aren't they wonderful? So, for being such a bad group, it's funny that they will remain the most maligned group of people that has been and ever will be. And so, okay. Talk to you later. Bye.